Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining us here on PGN. God bless you for being here. God bless you and your love for the Lord, your faithfulness to the body of Christ, and your presence that you bring your faith here to PGN, this meeting place. So praise God for that. Oh, look. Okay, well, praise God. I didn't know that song was there. Okay, so anyway, glory to God. I hope everyone's having a good Tuesday. This is Deborah with you this evening on PGN, the pre-program lineup. I don't know what's going on with me. All of a sudden, I just got a little goofy. But glad to be here. So I'm just thanking the Lord and I'm faithfully trusting the word of the Lord to come forth this evening that the Lord gave me that I would just bring it as he desired. So it's kind of interesting how it all came out, a little bit of a testimony in and through it in and of itself wrapped around the word, which is not uncommon, right? And certainly how it would happen in my life, and I'm sure how it happens in your life as well. So let's pray. Again, we just thank you. So we're in December, so the first full week of December. So praise the Lord and Hanukkah. For those of you who have celebrated Hanukkah and grasped the elements of the light, his marvelous light and his wonderful oil and his miraculous oil, I should say, healing and marvelous light. God bless you. And may we continue to offer that one to another as well in Jesus' name. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this evening, God. We thank you, Lord, for you are marvelous and you are wonderful, God. You are perfect in all of your ways, Lord. And I thank you, Father God. I just acknowledge and recognize that you hold all the power, the authority and the majesty of God. We thank you for that, Lord. We believe in our hearts and receive you, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. You are marvelous and wonderful. We thank you that you are a wonderful counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for coming. The government is upon your shoulders. We thank you for the purposes in which you sent your son would continue to be done on earth, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you, God, that you are a mighty force and you are powerful in all that you do. And there's nothing anyone can do to withstand you and your purposes and your will, God. And if God be for you, saints, who can be against you? So we thank you for the Spirit of God who testifies to our spirit that we are children of God. We thank you for that testimony of the Spirit himself. And we thank you for where two or three are gathered in your name, that there you are in the midst of them. So we thank you for that. May you be honored. We ascribe to you all the honor and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, so this week, I think I had mentioned last week at the end of, I was going to say the end of the service, which that's so funny. Anyways, at the end of the program last week, I was mentioning that this particular week was the anniversary, the 1-year anniversary of the passing of my mom. And my mom's name is Grace. And thank you for those of you that have walked through that and maybe recalled and have prayed during that time or this week. I appreciate that. Well, so on that particular day, I had in my mind, because I was calling it the Day of Grace, so in honor of her name and to honor her life and my new reality, if you will, without her being here. And she loved Christmas. My mom loved Christmas. So it doesn't even surprise me in some way that the Lord took her home. Actually, at that time, it was the second week of Advent, and it was the week of peace. And that in itself was like a gift to her, you know, just, that was just a gift. And maybe that a type of gift that would be like indescribable, that she wasn't expecting that year, couldn't even maybe ask, think, or imagine, but certainly receiving it in its fullness and its glory. Anyways, okay, so pondering that a little bit while I was thinking about it. So then, anyways, that particular morning, when I woke up, I did spend, the day went a little different than I had planned, but that was fine. It went with the flow because I'm going to tell you why. Because when I woke up that morning, I did do some worship and some reading. And so when I was going through some old notes and came up, or some old, I needed to pull something out from something. And anyways, there was a devotional thing in there. And I thought, oh, let me see if it has today's date. I would be, you know, I didn't think it was a coincidence that I came across it, and I'd pull it up and check for it. You know, at that time, it was December 6th. So anyway, oh, I guess that was just yesterday. So anyways, I did, and it was in there, okay. But one of the songs that rolled over, I was listening to King and Country, if you've ever listened to their song Glorious, oh, rocks my soul. And that, the songs were just turning over for King and Country songs. And one of the songs that came up was Angels We Have on High. And that, and I forgot all about this, but this felt like a gift from God as well. Certainly enriched my soul. That, my spirit, I should say, that that was the last song that was played as we exited my mom's funeral. And it was played for a few reasons, because I did the eulogy at her service and at the very beginning, and then it was done in a traditional church. The priest did the service, but they let me speak ahead before the service started. And so anyways, but this was the church that I grew up in as a child, but there's some elements to there, even prophetic elements that happened even during that time I went to church there. However, since my mom loved Christmas, I had picked that song because of all these things that were knit together and were fitted together for both my mom and closure for myself as well, and like leaving that church, but kind of cathartic to even speak at the church. I was there to impart the gift of Jesus, if you will, to them. Very heavy theme on Christ and eternal life. And so, are definitely woven into her eulogy, that's for sure, because for those of you that recall, she was saved during the charismatic movement in the mid-70s. That's when my mom was saved. So certainly that was a part of her. I certainly added that to her thing. Well, anyway, so the song Angels We Have Heard on High was my favorite song to sing as a child, or my favorite Christmas song when they played it at church. And so even that choice and my mom loving Christmas, and then also there was a testimony of an experience I had one time. I went back to, to help mom with something for her. And when I spent the night at her house, I had this dream / encounter that the Lord was releasing 11,000 angels on behalf of our family bloodline to help fulfill whatever was going to be completed or whatever is going to take place. And so, actually, I'm remembering this while I'm meeting here, So the whole song with the angels we have heard on high, then it all came together, right? And the Lord was like ministering to me through this and in through this. So then when I found, I opened the devotional and I was reading it, and it said, it was talking about this. And this is why this is important too, because if you recall, also one thing that my mom did was she was a hoarder. My mom hoarded. So there wasn't trash like, you know, some people you see on the TV where it's incredibly extreme, where there's trash everywhere. Well, not that. My mom didn't have trash, but she did have items and belongings that she just kind of collected, or she would buy one thing, and then she certainly was thinking of her four children and would buy, but except by eight of them instead of just four, you know, like for some reason it was always multiples. Generally, it was multiples of things. And anyway, so that's how she was. In fact, when I spent the night at our house, I had to clear the bed off in the spare room, and I was counting the purses that I needed. Like there were purses and wallets and different little handbag or whatever, stashes, and I was counting them as I was clearing the bed off because I just thought it was ridiculous, you know. There were 22 of them, and I literally just cleared off half of the bed. I just cleared off a space for me to lay on so that I could sleep. So that kind of gives you a little bit of an idea. So anyways, with that said, the December 6th devotional was talking about being a cheerful giver, which is completely opposite of, well, at the time, completely opposite of what my mom was doing there. She had an intention to give, which I think she did, but there was still this pull on her to hold on to it, that she was going to need it at some point in her life. And so this devotional is, while it is relating to the verse about being a cheerful giver, it's also an encouragement, because at the very end it's talking about how can you give generously of your time and your resources. And that's what I really feel like the Lord was prompting me in the day, is that I needed to change my day and to go with the flow of God's grace and generously give my time in a different way and to rethink my day according to the word of God. So 2 Corinthians is where we're going to read from. But I want to tell you, okay, here's the thing that crossed over as well that I didn't mention, is that last week I knew what I was going to speak of on the Hanukkah thing. And then I remember I was asking the Lord about, you know, what I was, there was a, you know, I'm always inquiring of him what to share, what to say, what to bring forth. And when I flipped last week, so he told the thing about the Hanukkah and the light and the miracle oil. And then when I flipped the calendar that I had, you know, like one of those little desk calendars to bring it to date, you know, like up to date, there was the verse, thanks be it unto God for his indescribable gift. And I heard the Lord say, I want you, and next week, which is this week, I want you to talk about my indescribable gift. And I thought, well, if it's a gift that's indescribable, how is it, am I going to talk about it, okay? So he gave me that verse a week in advance, okay? So when I'm with my mother, or and my mother in memory, okay, and honoring her day on that particular date, 2 Corinthians 9 still comes up. And it wasn't until I pulled up the entire chapter that I realized at the very end, verse 15 says, thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. So it was the same, which is really incredible to me. His grace is so incredible. So, but the verse that struck me on that really kind of redirected my day as well, but really, in, you know, gave me encouragement, was verse 8. It says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, which, okay, I was calling it a day of grace. And God is saying, he is able to make all grace abound towards me, which is his grace. He's saying, even beyond just this glimmer of life or twinkling of life, there is eternal life and there is yet still things to be done that you can give your resources and your time to that are of greater value on earth as they are in heaven. You know, on earth is the time why I'm still here and building the kingdom of God, just as you are. And it says, and that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Okay, so he was just even encouraging me that I have the sufficiency to do it. I don't need to And not that I was going to spend a day of mourning, but I didn't need to spend as much time as I thought I needed to spend. You know, he was encouraging me and enriching and giving me a different perspective. And when the Lord gives us a different perspective, he is transforming us. That is transformational. And we grow, and we grow in his direction and in his ways and in his will. And so this is what was happening. So in this particular verse, because sometimes, too, I will say it irks me a little bit when in church, this irks me when this happens in church, if a pastor talks about, and we shouldn't, not that we want to go towards materialism, but God was generous. He was a very generous person, and we need to kind of rethink that and not look at it, not present God in such a practical way that is humanistic, and just this humanistic way. He was beyond that. And that's almost, I don't know, I think I feel offended or almost insulted when he's limited to such a manner to fit into our humanity, when we need to step into his perspective and grasp his heart, okay? Now, he's not telling us to go into debt. Again, it's not materialism, but we need to look at this indescribable gift, and how can we reflect this generosity of our time and our resources? So, I mean, and our resources are things, you know, that we already own, the sufficiency that he's already giving you. And the resources, you know, knowing, you know, you've been empowered by the Holy Spirit. The devil is a defeated foe. You know, Christ lives in you, and you have the Word of God to guide you. So these things we have access to, and we have access to the truth because of the Holy Spirit as well. So we do have resources, and we do have our time that we can rearrange our time and our gift and our offering to him, making an offering to him, and, you know, this what's available to me that I can serve you in such a way to be a blessing to those around me. How can I offer that? And you know, places that have been blessings. I know these people are, you are people of blessings, and that you've blessed people during the holidays in the past. And you know where your seed's been fruitful, where your time has been fruitful, you know, where ministries are grateful to have you serve and come alongside of them. They actually pray for their volunteers, you know. And your lives and their lives are enriched because of it. Okay, I need some water. So here we go. Okay, so in it starts off this way while Paul is talking to them in verse 6. And here's something I didn't realize. I got to share something I did not ever realize. I never realized this until, I don't know why. I don't know. I just never heard this in church before. I think just because people, I mean, honestly, I don't know. It's a sad result, but I mean, I'm just thinking now, but I don't know if it's just, I've been in places where not many. I'm thinking the Lord is correcting my mind. I'm thinking of one we went to recently. They're generous themselves. The pastor's generous himself. But other places where they were really using this verse to maybe just to receive, asking you to give so they can receive, and there was no exchange there, okay? And maybe not intentionally, but maybe some yes, and maybe some no, maybe some limited, as I, okay, so here we go. Verse 6, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he's purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So that was the name of the devotional, was a cheerful giver, okay? God loves a cheerful giver, because it's straight from God's heart. This is why. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Okay. Or as it's written, he has dispersed abroad and he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Now, and we were poor, okay, if you look at Mark 5, it talks about being poor in spirit. That means we were needy. It means we were needy. Spiritually, we couldn't have survived in this land without God sending his son Jesus. We were in need of a savior. We were needy. We were poor in spirit and needy. So it's given to the poor. So that's spiritually, body, soul, and spirit, okay? Spiritually concerned with the things, you know, the good shepherd, the great shepherd is concerned. Ezekiel 34:4 says the shepherd is concerned with the things that are weak and the with the sheep. You know, first in spirit, right, and then body, soul. He concerns himself with that. Now, verse 10. Now may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed that you have sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Well, there's a lot of things in here you could literally pray. Verse 11. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. 12. For the administration of the service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also is abounding through many thanks to God. While through the proof of this ministry, the glorified God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of your exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be to God. And first indescribable all gifts. Okay, so this type of heart thing is not going to come from anything unless you have a confession of the gospel of Christ. And this is where it's going to come from. But it's saying, literally, there are benefits. There are results that come from being a generous giver. And a cheerful giver, but giving generously in your time, okay, in your time, if you just think about this in time, okay, because where it says, do not give grudgingly or out of necessity, a lot of times when God was talking about giving, he was even relating it to his love, and, right? So this is not just about monetary. This is not what I'm talking about. I don't want anyone to twist it and because they're limited or because of we've all been limited in some ways. The Lord is helping our perspective so that he is transforming us more and more into his image, into his likeness, into his perspective. Okay, and so just think about this as a form of time. Okay, if we all have so many hours in the day, so many hours in our week, how much time can we give him as a resource with the sufficiency that he's already given to us? Okay, so, but not grudgingly or out of necessity, but really setting that aside and saying, well, this is my offering to you. Here's my offering and my sacrifice to you so that you can be glorified. So that the thanksgiving can be unto God, right? So many thanks to God. So you're giving results of your giving and giving cheerfully, okay, not begrudgingly or out of necessity, but giving cheerfully. The results are that you will, verse 11, that you will be enriched in every way, and God will be honored. So the person you pray with to receive the Lord, the person you pray with just to minister to them, or you hand them a Kleenex, okay, and you bless them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever it might be, you work at the soup kitchen, you fill up that shoebox, whatever it is, okay, whatever the Lord, whatever that might be. And even if you're having out-of-town guests and there's just something special you can do to show your love to them, to go out of your way to serve them their special meal, whatever it might be, okay? However the Lord impresses upon your heart, that that what's going to happen is when we give, when you choose to give generously and cheerfully, when I choose to give generously and cheerfully unto the Lord, whether it is my time, again, time, talents, resources, gifts, monetary, whatever it might be, your life, you're going to get results from it. And I've never seen this before in scripture other than in this devotional right here. So the results are that you would be enriched in every way. I mean, honestly, you know where the word says if you give, okay, this is when you give your tithe, that he will rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And I pray that sometimes. When the Lord says it in his word, I hold him to his word, to the integrity of his word, and I pray that. So if I'm enriched in every way, and I felt like even with my mom's, I was enriched. And I feel like even the gift that he gave me prior in advance, and maybe the things that's what happened as that day of memorial, I was actually going to give my time to to heal or to mourn or to give it unto my mom. The Lord was refocusing my perspective and putting a different lens on it, like a lens from heaven down on earth, and saying, let's redirect that and look at this instead, okay? And because he was able to make all grace abound to me, right? So that's his grace. So he was telling me with my time, the time that I had set aside for that day, I want you to spend your time differently. And I want you to spend it in such a way that is going to reflect his indescribable gift, which we'll get to in a second, his indescribable gift. And by me making that investment of my time, of the resources he's already, you know, given me, that I would be enriched in every way. And he actually enriched me prior to me even going, reminding me of that song, reminding me even of the promise of our generations, and that the angels that were going to be on assignment for them, okay? That was him enriching me in very good ways. I don't know if it's every way. I guess maybe I will yet wait to see or even ask him. You know, so that's one result. When you give generously, you will be enriched in every way. Verse 11, and God will be honored, and the people will thank him. It also says thanksgiving, that the people give him thanks. Okay, many thanks to God when you give. Okay, this is what should be happening, but God is honored when you do that. Okay, so when we look this up, obviously, in verse 15, for thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. That is the only scripture that I find the word indescribable. And certainly it speaks of to describe or commemorate, which words fail. So, which is obvious. That would be obvious. That's what we would think. And so unspeakable, indescribable, commemorate which words fail. In the Webster, it says too unusual, extreme, or infinitely to be inadequately described, which I would say that, right? I would say that because think about if someone asked you, if your children asked you, what would you like for Christmas? And you might be able to tell them, or you ask your husband, right? Or you kind of know what they've been looking at, or you know what they might enjoy. But think of a gift, if you received a gift in however many days we have left, you receive 20 some days. If you receive a gift and it's indescribable, I mean, think about that for a second. It's indescribable gift. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's hard to put into words, indescribable. So the word gift also is, and this particular word of gift appears 11 times. And it's gratitude, like a gratitude or a gift, okay? So a gift is a gift. 11 times in this particular, the way it's used in this particular verse, and when it comes up 11 times, it's actually referring to the gift of God, the gift of the Holy Spirit, a free gift, the gift by grace of one man, Jesus Christ, abounding to many, right? Which is very similar. When I read that, I think of John 1, 11 and 12, where it says, he came to his own and his own did not receive him. But, verse 12, but as he has received him, then he gave them the right to become children of God and to those who believed in his name, right? So whoever, right, even as where it says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. For so as many as received him, he gave them the right to be called children of God, to those who believe in his name. That's important. And gifts of righteousness, gift of grace. Ephesians 4 talks about grace was given. Grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift, which is interesting. And then Hebrews 6:4 talks about a heavenly gift, which is, for it's impossible for those who were once enlightened to have tasted a heavenly gift. So this is talking about those who intentionally and publicly shame the Lord. But it's referring to the heavenly gift. That's how it's referred to in that verse. So that is amazing. Again, it's 11 times. That word is 11 times used there. And then it's also interesting enough, verse 11, even from that chapter, talks about the results that you and I will receive. So I just want to say that again, you will be enriched in every, a result of cheerful generosity is that they would be enriched in every way and God would be honored. And I didn't know this. I knew that it honored God and it pleased God and people thanked God, but I didn't know this part. The result of it is that you would be enriched in every way. Because, again, we can thank him. So we can just ask him how you can spend, how I can, which he's already asked me, and he might ask me again, but I know this week he definitely asked me, where do you see a need where you can help with this week? And how could you give generously of your time or resources, because our time is very important, okay? We sow our time. We sow our time. Christ has redeemed our time and redeemed our lives. That is a gift and that he has given us, and we can honor him with that. So I hope that you're encouraged with that this week, and that you're able to move forward with that. And I'm not sure, I feel like in some ways the Lord is still teaching me and showing me his indescribable gift. You know, and sometimes I guess when the Lord does something, you know, you have like a front row seat and you're telling a friend the amazing thing that the Lord did. And maybe you prayed with someone to receive him and, you know, or they were delivered or you felt his presence and or prayed for someone to be healed and they declare, wow, Jesus is here. He's here right now, you know, and it's just in those moments are indescribable. And we do our best to put them into words, but there is a part of us that is connecting spiritually in the heavenly realms where we're seated and assigned, and that we are doing our hand on earth. We're doing our work on earth as, I guess, an evangelist, you know, in 2 Timothy where it talks about do the work of the evangelist and endure hardship and, you know, and sometimes the plowing, I guess the plowing, you know, we're plowing for the kingdom of God. And there are some things that happen that are indescribable. But as you sow and as you dedicate your time, and resources to the Lord as a gift to him, to honor him. May your lives be enriched in every way. And may the thanksgiving go to God, and may he be honored. So I think that's awesome, where we can clearly see something in his word and know that we can partake of that and do the will of God. As far as I'm concerned, that's the will of God. Okay, so we thank him for it. So, and that was very redemptive for me as well, to even that the Lord would redeem even things of the household, of how my mom's thinking and where she was limited, but yet now offering it with God's view and God's perspective. So I think that's pretty cool. And I know that, and not that I have like her type of mentality. I don't know that I ever did in that particular way. I mean, in some ways I'm a saver, like I do save things, but, and that's not just me, just, but I'm definitely not, yeah, I'm very practical in my thinking and practical in my, but I do remember listening to, oh gosh, Kim Clement one time talk about, I think he grew up like that, but he was, maybe he was talking about over a spirit of poverty, but that he would give generously, that the Lord told him to give generously and cheerfully, to break any of that stuff off, you know? So anyway, I mean, I didn't think about that till afterwards, but it's interesting how the Lord, when he brings his transformation, right, in our thoughts and our perspectives on things, that that is very fruitful and enlarges our ourselves into his likeness and into his image. And then nothing really is tied to us. There's no ties, or there's no strings of humanity and the way and the errors that maybe our parents did, or grandparents, or whatever influence, a teacher, you know, whatever influence of being raised you may or may not have had. So so I think, let's just pray before we open this up. Just feel like let's pray. So Father, I just thank you, Lord. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you that you are a good teacher and that you do lead with all truth. Father, we thank you for the manifestation of your truth, God, that when we do give generously, God, that we are enriched in every way, that you are honored, and that thanksgiving goes to you, God. So let us be participants, Lord, of your desire, God, and how we can help this week where there is a need, God. And we thank you, Lord. Let it be fruitful for you. Let it be so that indeed the people thank you, God, that they sincerely thank you and that you are sincerely honored, Lord. And Father, we may not even know how to ask how our lives should or ought to be enriched, God, but because your word declares that our lives will be, God, we want to receive all from you, God, and not limit ourselves in our perspective this side of heaven, God, or even think that it can't happen. Lord, we want to be believing believers in your word. So I ask that this enrichment would come to our lives in every way, God, and that we would recognize it as you, and we would know indeed that it is you, the Holy Spirit, enriching us, God. So we thank you, Lord, and we just receive it. And I pray for everyone here, God, who is listening this evening or a later time, God, to receive the prayer of the promises that you've spoke over their families, that you've spoke over their households, God, that they would seek you for them, Lord, and that you would just release it, Father. You would release the promises in the places that you've been. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We're trusting you and taking you, your word, Lord, and committing it to you, Father God. So we thank you, Lord, that it would be established. You would establish our ways. You would lead our ways, guide our ways, you would receive the glory for that as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's, also, I got like super hot when I was praying that for some reason. I feel like I need to turn the ceiling fan on. Okay, so glory to God. Let's open the phone line, 205-531. Good evening. Is this Julia May? Can you hear me? She might have walked away for a second, making a pie. No. Hey, 205-531. Is this Julia May?
Yes.
Okay. Hey, you checking something on the stovetop? What were you doing?
I was listening, and I was trying to find this Bible app for Joseph, and I heard you, but it just didn't click. I thought you said 605.
Okay. Oh, that's funny. Oh, good. Well, how are you guys doing?
Just fine.
Good. Glad to hear it. Well, I knew you were there. I was like, I know she's there. So I wasn't sure if I was on mute or, So praise God. Well, thank you so much for being here this evening and just your faithfulness to the Lord. So let me pray for you. Father, I thank you for Julia May, Lord. We just bring her to your throne of grace, God. We thank you for your mercy and your goodness, Lord, that is found there, that is found in our time of need, Lord. Whatever our need is, Father, when we come to your throne, God, you meet us there, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. So I'm seeing pools, like, and I don't know if they're pools of mercy or pools of grace, but I know in the Old Testament there were different pools that they had that they used for different resources. And some of them were used at, like, the pool of Siloam was used, I think it was, I don't know if it was the east side, but I know when they did a ceremonial thing, they were to take the vessels and get the water from the pool of Siloam to bring to the altar, to bring to the priest when he did his, whatever the ceremonial service was, and he was to pour that water, like, on the east side of the altar, representing really the glory of the Lord to come in. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times in the Old Testament, a lot of things were very symbolic that they used, were very symbolic and more like signs and wonders and symbolism and stuff. So these pools, but then there was a time where someone actually went into the pool, and I believe that they were healed. Like, even the pool of, you know, when the waters were stirred right outside the temple there, in that pool of Bethesda, is that what it's called? Pool of something, I think in John 5. And the angels stirred the waters, and they went into the water, and they were healed. And so I'm seeing pools, like when I said that over you, of the mercy and the grace, I was seeing pools. And I don't know if they're pools of grace. Mm-hmm. Yeah, pools of grace rings true. So I thank you, Lord. I'm not even sure. I don't even know. I mean, I wonder. Let me just do out of, let's try this one. Out of, just out of the sake of interest, okay, it doesn't come up as pools of grace. Okay, a pool of Bethesda, yeah. Okay, let me pull that up. There might be something to this John 5, because actually 5 is the number for grace, representing of grace. And this man, you know, was sick for a very long time. The water was stirred. And I don't know. There's something with pools. Where are you? There you are. Okay, pool. So we thank you, Lord, for the pools of grace, Lord, that you're just showing. They also used right around the temple, outside of the temple, there used to be pools of, they would use pools there to like clean different things, like clean the pre-ceremonial cleanings and different things. So in the Testament, when it said all those people were baptized, all these people were baptized in one day, well, it could have been true because they could have had 50 people at each one of these pools and just, you know, baptize them, because at the temple, also when the priests did the sacrifices, it was one after another, because they had communities and communities of people. I mean, the temple, that's what it was literally used for, was communities and communities of people coming through at different ceremonial times. So, and these pools were also used for baptism. Those were like these priestly, these little, I don't know what they're called in the Hebrew language, but they're smaller version, but they would have been used, and they could have been used for baptism. And then healing, and Siloam also used for the sacrifices, like a at the altar. So what is that? Like a ceremonial, like a I don't know. So it's official washing. What would that be called? So okay, healing, baptism, pools of grace. Yeah, so, So the water. Yeah, there's something, I mean, really, there is something in this that is deeper and, like, entwined that I am able to pull out at this time, because I don't know, like, even the word water, all of those involve water, right? So water has to do with God's grace as well. Also the watering of the word, you know, that brings cleansing. And so, I mean, honestly, there's something in there to seek the Lord on that you can tap into, or it's something, I don't know if you already maybe know it, and something that the Lord's promised, given a promise, since we prayed that prayer. And yeah, that maybe you received for, so, okay, Father, I just thank you, Lord, for how you speak and how you show things, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that you did indeed, Lord, speak pools of grace, Lord, and just seeing these pools, Lord, and just tapping into the resources of how you repeat yourself, God, how the Old Testament is a foreshadow into the New Testament, God. And I thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you have for Julia May. Lord, that she would receive that, God, that she would tap into that, Lord, that she would utilize, Lord, the pools of grace, Lord, that are available to her, Lord. I thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for your word and for your healing. Yeah, there's even, you know, because now he says he in Psalm 107 that he heals, he sends his word to heal us. So there's even healing in his words and even healing, like in his little scripture, his words, you know, he sends forth his word to heal. And so there's a washing in that, the washing and the word, the washing of the word brings forth healing as well. And that might be part of the promise for your family, Jen, you know. And yeah, thank you, Lord. You just thank you. Yeah, so there's like healing, like a literally and like a literal physical healing and spiritual healing and soul wounds like being healed and restored, a restoration type of healing. So we thank you for this, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, just for your restorative nature, God. We thank you, Lord, and still continue to call upon your anointing oil, God, your miracle oil, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name, God, we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, Lord, and let it be received, Father. In Jesus' name, Lord, we thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, let me see if I can find something here. I'm just remembering something. Okay, well, it looks like it's in John, the Pool of Siloam is in John 9:7. It was mentioned in the Old Testament, like I said, and in the New Testament, and Jesus healed there. Okay, that's where he did the healing. Jesus cured a man of his blindness out of that. Okay, yeah. Yes, now I remember. So the significance was is they used that for, like, on the altar, okay? And really, people didn't touch that because it was almost, like, sacred. Only the priests were to, or unless the priest instructed the servant or somebody and the, you know, related to the ceremony to go get the water, to dip the vessel into the water, to actually get it. That was even, like, they were picky about that, too. So when Jesus used that water, he healed. He healed the blind man, okay? And so it was a blind man from birth, okay? But the indicator, because when Jesus did this in his, he was saying he's going to open their eyes. They are blind, and they're spiritual blind. They have spiritual blindness, you know? So a lot of times, and Jesus continually said, I'm going to open their eyes and open their ears, right? And then he even brought physical healing and representation of what was going to take place spiritually with these people. So I think that there is definitely a connection with this spiritually opening, like healing, the healing and the services and the I can't read my writing on the third one that I wrote there. But so he was the spiritual parallel there was also prophetic because of what was to come when these pools took place in the healing. So the Pool of Siloam. But I would still click on what this was. Yeah, I mean you could look that up, but so the Gospel of John gives the meaning of the word Siloam, if I'm saying it correct, as being sent. So that is sent. So I wonder, like, S-E-N-T, to be sent. Yeah, he said, go wash in the Pool of Siloam. So he sent the man, yes. But that's what the Siloam means, is sent.
Oh, okay.
And it's sent. Yeah, so it's interesting, too, because Jesus was sent from the Father to heal our spiritual eyes. Yeah. And it could even be, you know, Julia May, I mean, obviously PGN is prophetic, and we've never talked about, like, your prophetic gift or prophetic intercession or where you are with your gifts and that, but it could be, too, that if the Lord sends you somewhere, that there's like prophetic acts that you do that help open up spiritual, you know, awareness and help, you know, like, to help bring in that spiritual awareness to unlock things so that they can see and know and remember, you know, for their recall what the Lord wants to do for them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what your spiritual gifts are? We've never talked about that, but just your
yeah. Well, I've done the, like the kissing this thing out, so I'm forgiving and friendship. I forgot another some more. It's not for teaching. It's definitely not. I do. I teach children, so but I haven't really been in the capacity really for teaching much, you know, missionary
yeah.
work, something like that. Mm-hmm. Friendship.
Okay.
Like
okay. And then do you do like prophetic intercession, would you say? Any type of prophetic evangelism? Like, because even it could be evangelism through friendship, which I could see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, some of that. Okay. Yeah, so, well, that's good. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. Oh, now, do you have any specific prayer requests?
No, just continuing the prayers for people, you know, for healing and, like, my niece is still stabilized and my cousin, you know, she doing much better, you know, the one that had the COVID also. She improving more and more every day, and still praying for my other cousin that has the lung cancer and the church member that had breast cancer. Just, you know, continue to pray for people. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, Father, we just lift up those, Lord, that are in continued need of prayer. God, for physical healing, Lord, we just lift up these that Julia May mentioned, Father, and anyone else that you're bringing to remembrance, Lord, for any listener, Lord, or for themselves that needs a physical healing or a physical touch. Father, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in faith and obedience to your word to pray for the sick, Lord, that they would be healed. Father, for the many miracles that you did, the many healings of sickness and disease and blindness and all the different realms of healing that you did, God, creative and recreative, Father, and restoring even the lame, Father, even the lame, Lord, that you healed them, Father. We thank you for your compassion, and we thank you for the faith that you've given us, God. And we thank you, Lord, that you would release your healing virtue and restorative nature. God, we thank you for your word that says that you reconcile all things unto yourself, God, whether things on earth or things in heaven, God, that you make peace with them through the atoning blood on the cross, Lord. So we thank you for your blood. And we thank you for the power of the cross, Lord, that you would reconcile, bringing peace to every ailment, every sickness, every disease, Lord, every place, Father God, that needs healing and restoration and being restored. In Jesus' name, God, every even fragmented fracture, God, places where faith is frayed, God, let you tie a knot, Lord, that they would hold on to you, Lord, that they would keep the faith, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for sustaining even marriages. I feel compelled to pray for marriages, Father, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you would mend them and make them wholehearted, God, that they would not live half-hearted, God, but they would live wholehearted one for another, Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, for just restoring and doing miracles there in relationships as well. We thank you, Father God, for just for your multifaceted miracles. For your indescribable gift, Lord, may it be poured out, Lord, by your Spirit, by your Son Jesus, Lord, and by your righteousness, by your grace, and from you yourself, Lord. And we thank you for that. We thank you for this gift, God. And we thank you, Lord, that many testimonies will come unto your name, Lord, that you would be honored and that you would be glorified, and we would ascribe to you all of the honor, all of the glory, majesty, and power. Father, we recognize that as yours. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for letting us pray for you. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you too.
Okay, thank you. Okay, friends. 828-989. Good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
This is Jennifer from North Carolina.
Hey, Jennifer.
Hi.
Hi, thank you for joining us. Sorry, I know when I start to get tired, I feel like I get dyslexic. I'm not. That's not my declaration, but I have to say it super slow because the numbers go too. So we thank you, Lord, for Jennifer, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you for her heart, Lord. I see the Lord restoring, like a refreshing, I'm going to say, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. There's an element of that, but it also very, not in an immature way, but like childlike, where you're in awe and you're just like, jumping from puddle to puddle, and just exploring and just exploring the things of the Lord. And the newness and all that he's showing you, you're just jumping into it. And it's just kind of childlike, like, hey, I know this is the Lord. Let's go over here, and then you jump into it. And again, there's nothing, that I see in your spirit or character that's immature, just the enthusiasm to just be joyful. I mean, if you've ever seen a child eat like a sprinkled donut, every bite is just like amazing, And so that, just like that awe and wonder of amazement of the Lord and jumping into it and that refreshing. So I thank you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, the things that she will experience with you. In Jesus' name, I thank you, Father God, that no weapon formed against her shall prosper, and any tongue that shall rise in judgment, you shall condemn. God, we thank you for your heritage and inheritance that you have for her, Father, in Jesus' name. And if God be for her, who can be against her, Lord? So we thank you, Father, that you are a good Father, that you draw out. You draw out those things, Father God, that you've placed within her, and you call them out and you draw them out in Jesus' name. And sometimes the Lord does that. Like sometimes he even does that with joy and enthusiasm and leading us in such a way. It was certainly his word says he will lead us in peace. But when we have joy and enthusiasm too, there's also a peace. There's an abiding peace, that we have as we move forward like that. But it's actually could be the Lord drawing things out of you that you are to walk in, that belong to you, if you will, that he's planned for you and purposed for you. And it's not always super serious, like you consecrate yourself for 2 weeks and do a fast and a prayer, wait for the vision, and write, While certainly there's a seeking, those who seek find, and those who hunger and thirst will be filled. Absolutely true. Will always remain true because his word is true. But he also can do it in such a joyful, good, pleasurable way too. And I was just thinking of what just came to my remembrance was in that movie Chariots of Fire, when the man said he ran and he would run and he said, when I run, I feel like I'm in God's good pleasure. And there's also, I don't know if it was, John Piper, I think it's John Piper, may have said it, hopefully I don't have the wrong gentleman quoting this, but talking about we bring, God's the most glorified in us when we're most, happy in him. Which means like the same exchange, get the words exactly right. But even in that moment, when this man was running, and saying, I feel God's good pleasure on me when I run, is that God's being glorified in his life. And and not everyone's going to understand that on the outside, which they didn't for him either. And but he knew God's good pleasure, and he knew the call on his life and what how he needed to follow Christ and not hold back in that, and give his all in it, which is really a lesson for all of us, really. And so, Father, we thank you for that, Lord, and we just give her the charge and the release to move forward. In Jesus' name, Lord, let that be unto her according to your will and according to your word. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, for how you speak, how you teach, how you guide, how you come alongside of her to advocate, to teach, to comfort, to guide, Lord, to defend. In Jesus' name, Lord, even defend the calling on her life, Lord. I pray for that even for the other listeners, God, Holy Spirit, to defend the calling on her life. Father, on the listener's life, God, the calling that you've placed within them and the preservation of faith that they've kept and endured, Lord, and defend that calling, Father God, that it might come forth and that they take a hold of it, Lord, for your glory, God, and that they would give out of that, Lord, out of that richness, Lord, of your grace and your indescribable gift, Lord, that they would give generously, that they themselves, their lives would be enriched in every way. And people would thank God, Lord, that it would be honoring to you in such a way that thanksgiving would be made unto God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you. How wonderful. Thank you. Wow.
Yeah.
How encouraging. Well, I receive. Thank you, Deborah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah.
Thank you, Father.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Wow. So how
I
are
really
you doing?
I really needed that encouragement.
I'm glad we were able to meet here.
Yeah, it's been rough over the last few months with COVID and, now. You know, a few nights ago, I went to the emergency room with terrible heart pain, and my father's insisting I go again tomorrow, and been having trouble breathing. So it's just been a battle, and I have a friend who's missing, and it's been a lot of warfare.
Wow,
yeah.
I'm so sorry. So is it just for you? Do you think it's like a viral thing?
I mean, I had COVID. I've just been cleared from that. And I don't know if this is just, consequences of that or whether something else is going on. Yeah, I've had like heaviness, just like 100-pound weight just sitting on my chest. And, I've been... the test came back, but they did find a lesions on my lower right lung and then lesions on my liver that have to be looked into further. So, it's just been one thing after another. I wasn't expecting that, of course, but the battle is definitely just been fighting some battles here.
Wow,
my mom is home from the... Yeah, mom's home from the hospital. She also had COVID along with my dad and just got her home, and she's on oxygen, of course, here still. But, we're just fighting. And God has been good, and he's been faithful and true and gracious to us. And I just praise him and I thank him for all that he's done and brought us through and what I know he's going to bring us through.
Yeah, wow. Oh, my goodness. Oh, I had no idea. Well, certainly I do want to pray about that. So hold on. I'm going to pull up a couple of verses here. Let's pray the word. Okay, saints, let's pray for Jennifer and her family. Father, we lift up Jennifer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we just bring her unto you. Lord, we thank you for your word in Psalm 103, Lord, that says we forget not all of your benefits, God. You forgive all of our iniquities and you heal all of our diseases, God. Your word declares that you redeem our lives from destruction and you crown us with loving kindness and tender mercies, Lord. So we ask that for Jennifer and for her parents, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you for the release of your word, Lord. And again, knowing and ascribing unto you and recognizing that you hold the excellence of power, all authority and majesty is yours, God. We ask that you release that healing virtue unto them, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Luke 9:11, God, it says the multitudes knew you and they followed you. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God, and he healed those who had a need of healing. So, Father God, we are declaring before your throne that there is a need for healing, God. And we come to you, Lord, gathered in one place, Lord, learning of your kingdom, God, learning of your ways, God. And we ask that you speak. I believe that you spoke to me this week, Lord, of this word, and it is of your kingdom, Lord, and that it be released. And now you see this healing, Father, and we ask, Lord, for this need of healing to be fulfilled by you, Lord. In Jesus' name, God. So we pray for Jennifer's lungs, Lord. We pray for her liver, God. We pray, Lord, that she would have restored health in every way. We pray for her heart, Lord, that there would no longer be any pains, Lord, any aftermath of this COVID. In Jesus' name, we pray for even just, Lord, you would expedite. I'm just going to ask that you expedite your healing, even with her parents, Father God. In Jesus' name, Lord, that they would have grant them a great turnaround by your great grace, Lord. In Jesus' name, that's what I'm asking, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you. Thank
Amen.
You.
Thank you.
I receive that healing. I do.
Amen.
It is
well,
done.
Thank you so much for joining us. Yes, and I will pray as the Holy Spirit reminds me. I will pray for you. And if we don't get to talk, you have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you. You too, Deborah. Bless you.
Okay. Bless you. Bye. Okay, well, thank you everyone for joining us. If you do, if you would like prayer, I do see a couple callers that are in the prayer queue or prayer tile. If you would like prayer, just press 1 on your keypad to open up your phone line, and I will gladly minister to you in Jesus' name and pray for you. If you have a testimony or a comment or something that you want to share, we would love to hear that as well. But certainly, and foremost, we want to pray and minister to you. We're here to serve you and to honor you before the Lord and to lift up your needs. I wanted to pray a prayer of salvation for those, you know, I was reading from 1 John, God's indescribable gift. And I do want to offer the gift of salvation if you, any of the listeners now or at a later time are listening. And you, if you were to die tonight, would you know that you're going to heaven? And if you not, if you have the uncertainty of that and to repent of your sins, because Jesus said he is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through him. So to receive him and believe on his name, and as I read in John 1, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God and to those who believe in his name. So if that's you, then I'd like to pray this prayer, and you can repeat after me, but I do want this to be here, a prayer here for you to receive. From the Lord, to unlock things, your spiritual eyes, your eternal destiny, your eternal life, and to be made clean and made whole in Jesus' name. And we'd also like to welcome you to the family of God. If you prayed this prayer, you can text the ministry prayer line or tell your neighbor or a family member of your decision that you've made the prayer and give testimony to that, because the Spirit gives testimony to you that the Spirit is in you, that you are a child of God. So the ministry text number, it's only for texting, it's not for phone calls, it's just to text a message, is 214-505-8719. Or if you have an inquiry about who Jesus is and need to know something further, it'd be 214-505-8719. So the prayer, it goes like this, and you can repeat after me. Or you can say one in your own. You don't even have to pray with me. You can pray with the Lord. You can go right now. You know, if you want to kneel beside your bed, kneel beside your table, your sofa, and pray a prayer of your own, you certainly are welcome to. There's nothing magical just about this prayer other than the principle of confessing and believing, confessing your sins and asking for his forgiveness, believing in his name and who he says he is, and receiving him into your heart as the Son of God, that Jesus is the Son of God. He was fully man, fully God, and he died, was buried, and rose again, even bodily form, rose again. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner, and I need and want your forgiveness. Accept and recognize your atoning blood, your mercy, and that your grace is a gift that you offer to me because of your great love, and not based on anything that I've done. I ask you to cleanse me by faith. I receive my heart as the Son of God and as here, and be Lord of my life, and help me to live for you, and I yield my soul to you. In your precious name I pray. Amen. Well, thank you. Thank you for letting me share and for praying with you. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. Yes. I don't like to put fragments, and the Bible says that this is the prince of this air. So this is why our words are important too, because they're forming and creative, especially when we're Christians and we're born again and we have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, is that our words are creative and we're breaking through atmospheres where the prince of the air, we're pretty fragmented, we're fragmenting what he's doing, and we're creating life and putting a new spin on what he's spinning. You know, this is why we and life, we're creating life, we're creating the kingdom of God, and we can cause havoc. And this is why he uses certain things to really come against us and to intimidate us. And nothing's new. His strategies are not new. You ask the Lord to reveal to you how to pray, and he will. The enemy usually always will, at some point, he will give himself up or make himself known, because he's so arrogant in what he does. And but it's revealing at the same time. But then that gives us, with the wisdom, the enemy does not have wisdom. It gives us the wisdom of God to know what to do to take him out, to, you know, go for the jugular with the enemy. Go for the jugular. You want to take him out. You don't want to, you know, hope that he has compassion on you and that he will ease up. He will not. And if that should not be a hope that you have, because he has zero compassion. The enemy has zero compassion. And his intent is to take you out. And his intent is to get you to turn away from your faith. Just as Paul said, after everything Paul did, at his end, he said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. And Paul's talking to us, and he's revealing to us. He's giving a revelation to us. And for some people, that might be their biggest revelation, that they realize what Paul did. Even his unusual miracles that he did with the aprons, okay, and the healings that he provided, and then there's unbelievable, okay? At the end of his life, he says, I have kept the faith. Jesus himself in, I think it was near Peter's house, to be honest. He did, many of his miracles were performed there. The people doubted him still. He did 75% of his miracles there. They doubted him. They did not turn to the kingdom of God, even seeing these miracles. His disciples walked alongside of him and seen these miracles. And yes, they were astonished at times. They even missed some of it, like even the food, the miracles of the food, feeding, breaking of the bread, of the fish and the bread. When he fed the 5,000, he fed the 4,000 the same way. Well, at first they missed that. And the young child, where are we going to get this food, right? They missed some of that, you know. And I love how Jesus is, you know, like surprises them with this element, this teaching element, and then this incredible, like, boom, you know, boom, it's this house going down, you know. And so they were participants in that, even picking up the fragments of, 12 baskets full of fragments were left over. And I loved that nothing was even wasted. What such good steward the Lord was, even in his miracle, nothing is wasted. Okay, and so Jesus was faced with the same things that we face, you know, the same things that we face, but on a different level, of course, because he was fully God. But certainly he can relate to us as our high priest, as our encouragement. And even going to the cross, you know, his final miracle that looked like complete opposite. He was only limited to express his speaking on his resurrection, showing resurrection life through Lazarus and other cities. There were a few people that were like on their deathbed that healed and touched them and healed them and sent people out of the room, right? And then he healed them. And miraculous things. And his disciples walked alongside of him. And he had some very close disciples, right? Peter, James, and John. And what did his disciples ask them to teach them? Of everything that he walked alongside of with them, what did they ask him to teach them? They said, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. They knew that he was drawing from a higher place than himself. You know, in some ways, while it says that the angels are in awe of us because we believe God without seeing him, and we worship him and praise him, and they want to, it kind of alludes to the fact that they want to, they have this curiosity to know what it's like for us to worship God without seeing him or being at his throne. And, you know, like they have this curiosity and they meet with us. I believe, I know that I have an angel when I'm fully engaged in worshiping the Lord, or even just joyfully worshiping the Lord. I do believe that I have an angel that is with me in worship, and I'm thankful for this angel. And, curiosity, they haven't stepped into that themselves. But we have things that we can learn from the angels as well, right? Where they're quick to obey the command of the Lord. They're joyful, they're celebratory before the Lord. They deliver the word. They deliver it with accuracy and obedience, quick to obey and deliver the word and to do the assignment that's placed before them, you know, willfully and honorably, knowing that they're going to ascribe their Lord with all power, authority, and majesty unto his name forever and ever, and joyfully return to him and praise him for it. You know, praise him for it. If nobody, you know, all these angels, they must have names. I mean, they must have names, right? Every creature has a name, even the living creatures, the animals and the mammals. And he had Adam name all the animals. They have names. These angels must have names, but they are not, unless the Lord reveals to you, but they are not regarded by name in scripture. You know, and it even talks about the stars have names, right? And the brilliance and the light that they bring, that they have names. And the Holy Spirit, is works marvelously with the Lord. To the Word of God says in John 3:16. Well, just before that, 3:15, it says the Holy Spirit is here to convict those of sin who do not believe in the name of the Lord. So we need to evoke the Holy Spirit to bring His conviction, and that people would start responding to the Word of the Lord that's coming forth. Those that are bold to declare. In the nations, the name of Jesus to be high and lifted up, that many can receive him. Whosoever would have the courage to respond would receive the Lord. And a lot of times, you know, the Holy Spirit does his job. He does his role. He's awesome, well, with us as well. And but even in that, he does his role to bring the conviction, and Jesus is esteemed as he rightfully should be. But my point is this, is that the Holy Spirit doesn't try to take credit for that and kind of like pull on the garment of Jesus's, you know, or pull on your garment, your coattails, and say, oh, hey, wait, I had a role in that. I did a part of that. Part of me, I was involved in that. You know, the humility in that, to let another rise to the top and to be joyful. And certainly we know what that's like. Those of us who have children or nieces and nephews, grandchildren that are very close to us, we will let that happen and joyfully and rightfully. So we want to see them excel and do great exploits for the Lord way before, more so than we have done. We want to see this. Okay, I have a last caller here. Thank God you raised your hand. I was about to hang up. So 402-214, good evening. Who am I speaking to? Where are you calling from?
Hi, Deborah. Sharon in New York. Thank you for taking my call.
Oh, sure. Yes, absolutely. No problem. Thank you, Lord. Well, thank you, Father God, for Sharon, Lord. In Jesus' name, I just lift her up to you and before your throne and your kingdom, God. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing, Lord. In Jesus' name, I'm seeing the foundation of where you're walking is being restored. Like there's that rebarb, is that what it's called? They lay the rebarb down, metal before they lay the cement. I'm seeing places where it was frayed. It was almost frayed like a fragment. Like a fabric, which I don't know that that's even possible with that metal. But I'm seeing the foundation being restored and being relayed with this rebarb. And even that itself, before the cement is actually laid, you actually can, I mean, it's not intended to be this way. It's intended for the foundation, the cement to be poured so that it's lasting and it holds it and it's secure.
Right.
But you literally can walk on this rebarb. You can walk on it. It is sustainable. And so I say that to say, I'm seeing you walk on it, that even though the things are being restored, it's not holding you back. And it's not like you're limited until it's complete. You are still able to walk. And you will see and you will know the places in which you can step. you know, and that are secure for you in Jesus' name. So I thank you, Father God. I thank you for this, Lord. Lord, you are so incredibly awesome and so good, God, and so faithful, God, and steadfast in all of your ways, Lord. We thank you, God, for each step that she takes, that she commits it to you, that she trusts in you, God, that she's even called, Lord, trusting in you and committing her ways to you, even this evening, Father God, that this is, we see it, God, I declare unto you, this is a testimony. I testify to your commitment to Christ. This evening, to your trust to Christ. You know, there's a lot of times in scripture where the spirit bears witness to the spirit, the blood, the water, it speaks, it testifies, right? When two or more come into agreement, okay? Two or three out of the testimony of two or three witnesses, okay? I testify, this is why it's so important. I testify unto you, your faith to the Lord, your commitment to the Lord, your trust to the Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for creating the firm foundation, God. But I thank you, Lord, that as this is being rebuilt, God, and it is firm, Lord, that she can walk, Lord, that she can see her steps, she can see where she is going, God, and this will not hold her back in any way, God. And we thank you, Lord, for the foundation that's being created for her, Father God, that it is, that this foundation, when complete, it is all travel can go on it, right? So like bikes, motor vehicles, you know, your family, your generation, you know, you can walk side by side, even two or three, you know, maybe four people side by side, you know, and so right. Great support, great pathway. God, I thank you in Jesus' name, Lord, and we just declare that for her, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, and her foot, God, in Psalm 46, her foot will not slip, fall, or stumble, Father God, in Jesus' name. Let me look that up real quick, and okay. Ooh. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Let's see. Maybe I have the wrong, but I see something here. Let me change that to NIV. Okay, it's not 46, but it is. If I do this, I bet you.
Are you talking about the, you shall not dash your foot against the stone?
Yeah, like your foot will not slip, fall, or stumble. And I think that's in the. Well, there is Psalm 18:36 where it says, enlarge my path under me so my feet do not slip. So that is, okay. Uphold my steps in your path that my footsteps may not slip. That's Psalm 17:5. Yeah, that definitely bears witness to what I've seen. So, but yeah, Psalm 46 is pretty good too. I mean, you can read that on your own before the Lord. That's pretty good to just declare as well. But, okay, where'd you guys go? Oh, there you are. So thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God, for your word, Lord, for sharing, Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Lord, for bringing it forth, Lord, that you do protect her, Lord. You enlarge her way and her path and her territory. And her foot will not slip, God, and she shall not fall. In Jesus' name, amen.
Oh, thank you so much, Deborah. God bless you. You're
thank
so
you.
Sweet.
God bless and you. I, do you have any prayer requests?
Before I let
you go?
Well, yeah, just my family, you know, that there's healing there in their in our relationships and with the Lord too.
Okay. So Father, we thank you for Sharon's family, Lord, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that you do restore all things, Father God. We thank you, Lord, for even in David's heart, Lord, where he said, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation, Lord, and give him a willing heart to obey you, God." And so I thank you, God, for just your restorative nature, Lord, to each of their souls. In Jesus' name, Father. And I thank you, Lord, as they come humbly before you, Lord, seeking you and inquiring of you, Lord, that you would teach them all things, Lord, that you would teach them how to communicate, Lord, how to connect, how to love one another, God, how to demonstrate their love one for another, Father, as in 1 Corinthians 13, God, that they would do that, Lord, and demonstrate their love one for another. Father, I ask that you teach them how to do that, God, that it would be renewing and refreshing and receiving unto their household and unto their ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Deborah. You have a wonderful night, and thank you so much for being there, for that word.
Well, thank you.
I really appreciate it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Praise
the Lord. Yes, you'd be safe.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Thank you, everyone. I'm going to let everyone go. I am a little bit over time, and I don't want to run into to Randy's program and people call in for him, like to jump ahead, to get ahead for him so they could be the first caller. So because once I end my program, you actually, if you have called in to listen to Randy, you actually will have to dial in again. So I want to make sure that I give people enough time to do that for him and to honor and not go over. So thank you for this evening and for being here. And I do continue to pray that the Lord's marvelous light will be upon your household, for shalom to be with you, the oil that is his miracle oil to be with you, to shine his light, and for your lamp to be full, and my lamp to be full as well. And thank you for your prayers and your faithfulness to PGN. May the Lord bless you. Thank you for your generosity of time. May the Lord bless you and enrich you in every way. And thanks be it unto God for his indescribable gift. In Jesus' name, good night.